Hi, my name is Charlotte Burney, and I'm a 17-year-old attending the Ethical Culture Fieldston School in New York City. My goal is to explore the nationwide anxiety epidemic by hearing from authors, specialists, and educators. This is A is for Anxiety. Today, I'm lucky to speak with Ben. He wishes to keep his last name anonymous. Ben grew up and attended primary school in New York City. He attended Haverford College in Pennsylvania, where he majored in economics and played on the varsity golf team. After graduating in 2017, he went back to New York City to work with Oxford Tutoring Company, until this past August when he left New York to attend UCLA Law School. Ben, thank you so much for speaking to me today. I'm so lucky to hear from you.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. So my first question is just, when did you start feeling anxiety? How old were you, and how did you notice it manifesting?
I would say that I was born anxious. I was always an anxious kid. I was fortunate to have a mother who identified it very early on and got me help. Mm-hmm. And so honestly, like, it's just always felt like a part of me. So I wouldn't say there was one moment, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So when you were a kid, and in what scenarios did you start feeling anxious, like social or academic?
Yeah, I have a particular type of anxiety, which is anticipatory anxiety. So before anything new in particular would really trigger the anxiety, and So, for example, my first day of school, there's some funny stories of me refusing to go up the elevator to the classroom because I was just so anxious about starting in a new place.
Yeah.
And then generally, once I start, I do a lot better. But getting me to actually do the new thing was a challenge, and I think that's what tipped my parents off that I had some issues with anxiety.
Did your siblings have anxiety too, or if you have siblings?
Yeah, I have a younger sister. She has some anxiety. I think it's probably more what your average person would be used to, anxious about the future more generally. But for me, it was a very particular type of situation that created a very paralyzing anxiety of doing new things, essentially. So no, I would say not particularly.
And then was it easy for you once you started that new thing, when you got over sort of that original hump of being scared of what was to come?
I mean, I wouldn't say easy. I would say, you know, one of the things that people don't understand, I think, about anxiety is how tiring it can be to manage and to deal with. And so one of the effects of that, if you're really anxious before something happens, you're already exhausted by the time it starts.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that, and also your level of anxiety is already heightened. And so while I would say it becomes easier, It's still there and is a challenge and you know, something that you have to manage.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned before that your parents noticed it early and were able to get you that kind of help. Did you find it easy to be able to go to your parents or to people at your school and be able to talk to them about it?
So my mom always really understood. She had siblings that were very anxious, and I think she'd grown up with it and really understood how difficult and challenging it can be. We've always been very close in that respect. I've never had an issue going to her. My dad has never truly understood, I think, how difficult it can be, and so it can be more challenging to talk to him, and, you know, particularly if he wants me to do something new, or in the past when he's wanted me to do something new and it's been hard for me, getting him to understand kind of why it's hard and just exactly what I'm going through. And it's been a process, but it's something that we've we've had a lot of conversations on, and I think I think he would say that I've hopefully taught him a little bit about anxiety and some of the anxiety that he even deals with that he wasn't aware of before. And so, yeah, something we're very open about in our family. In terms of school, I think because I had so much support independently from my mom and then the help she was getting me outside of school, it was not something that I necessarily it wasn't something that I necessarily sought help for in school.
Okay.
And I wouldn't have necessarily felt all that comfortable. I think, you know, there's a stigma attached to anxiety.
Completely.
And not everyone understands exactly how tough it can be, and so it's I think it makes me extremely grateful to have parents who were able to provide me with support outside of school, so that I didn't have to go through that. And I can imagine how difficult it would be if that wasn't the case and I was, you know, having to seek more support within the schools that I was at.
Yeah. So was it even ever really talked about at your school beyond just going and needing to ask support for yourself? Because I know times are starting to change a little bit, and at least at my high school, they're beginning to talk about it. But did you ever experience that? Did guidance counselors ever come in and say, hey, we're here, let us know?
You know, it's interesting. As I've gotten older and I've gone into higher education, it's talked about a lot more. I think when I was younger, it was still not quite as understood, and I don't think people dealt with it to the same degree or understood just how widespread, because everyone gets anxious at different points, and everyone needs support at different points in their lives. But it wasn't something that was talked about as regularly when I was younger. When really those skills, it's most helpful to young people to kind of learn how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been actually very impressed at generally my college and in law school in particular, how supportive, how many services higher education institutions offer. And it is something that's talked about, and, you know, people are encouraging you to take care of your mental health and seek help if you need it, and and those sorts of things. So I think it is a sign of probably less so that, oh, higher education understands it more and more so, just a sign of the changing times of,
completely.
I'm sure it is being talked about more generally at all schools.
Yeah. And in terms of socially, would you say that as time has gone on, I don't know if this is something you've done in the past or want to do, but when you talk to your friends about it, if you do, do you find them being able to relate to you or seeming like they don't really care?
It varies. I would like to think that most of the people I'm friends with are generally empathetic and understand and can relate to it to some degree. But I don't think unless you have an actual anxiety disorder, you don't really understand how exhausting it can be. And so I never expect people to necessarily understand.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they show empathy and, you know, are not judgmental.
Yeah.
So it's not something I talk about regularly, but, you know, if someone asks me, because sometimes if you're really anxious, your friends will notice that you're acting differently. And I'll just say, yeah, I'm really anxious. And, you know, I think I've tried to surround myself with people that are sympathetic to that and supportive.
Mm-hmm. So would you say, in terms of both parents and friends, I know that it can be hard for people who are with others that have anxiety, not really knowing what to say that could make it better or help someone. So do you think there's anything that when you're feeling really anxious that someone could say to you to make you feel better? Or is it just that you really want someone to be in the moment with you and support you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a there's definitely a lot of that where you just want someone to be supportive and understand what you're going through, and that even if they can't relate to it themselves, that it's real, right? That it's a real experience that you're dealing with. And at the same time, I think reminders that, you know, this feeling is going to pass, that things are going to be okay, reminders of what, you know, the reality is if you're about to start something new. For example, I was incredibly anxious right when I was about to start law school. I spent all of this time analyzing what I wanted to do with my life and decided law school was a good option. I thought it through, made a rational decision. And right before, I became incredibly anxious and could basically convince myself that it was the wrong decision, just because of how my anticipatory anxiety works. And, you know, having people around who can actually remind me, no, you thought this through, you decided to go to law school for XYZ reasons, is helpful too. So I think sometimes having those people who can kind of bring you back to reality can be helpful as well.
Mm-hmm.
While also understanding why you're feeling the way you are.
Yeah, and I think sort of just having someone there and, like you said, mm-hmm. just telling you it's going to be okay and that it'll pass, because
exactly.
I know I've talked to other people where it's like when you're feeling that anxious, you feel like you're going to feel that way forever.
Exactly.
And so it's kind of nice to have that support.
Yes, definitely.
So on sort of the topic of school, I don't know if you experience this kind of anxiety, but I know the college process gets really stressful and is really anxiety producing. And mm-hmm. I was wondering how you dealt with that, and sort of what advice you would give for the kids that are now going through the college process.
Yeah, I certainly remember it being incredibly stressful, mm-hmm. From taking standardized tests to just feeling like you have to fill out all of these applications or going.
Yeah, there's a lot to anticipate, like when you're going to get it back and everything.
Exactly. And I think the biggest advice I can give is, and this is one thing you start to see as you go further and further in your life, is every time you are encountered with something new that seems really challenging, and it's happened throughout your life, whether it's starting kindergarten or that first homework assignment that you had to do on your own, or the first paper you had to write, or, you know, you can go on and on through school, and every time it can often seem daunting.
Yeah.
Right? And every time you do get through it, you figure out what you need to do. You just go one step at a time, and you get through it, and eventually it's over.
Yeah.
And no matter what you're faced with, whether it's the college process or different circumstances that occur in college or what have you in your professional career, it's all the same thing. It's all just a new thing. It might be on a bigger scale, but the truth is it's just another challenge that people before you have managed to overcome, and you will as well, as long as you just take one step forward and keep trying your best. And so that's the biggest advice I would give is, even when something seems really daunting, everyone, there's a reason why most people are able to get through it. And the key is to actually just keep moving forward and just put one foot in front of the other. It's what my mom always says.
That's really good advice and such an interesting perspective, because with this process and making this podcast, I've talked to other specialists who say it's anxiety can also, it causes people to sort of just avoid and avoid and avoid.
Right.
And I think that that's so easy, but in the end, you're sort of left with all these things to do, and it's not like they're going to go away. So that idea of just continuing to sort of move forward, even if it feels really hard.
Right. And I think I said earlier, you know, anxiety can feel really paralyzing.
Yeah.
You know, for me, like doing something new, it could the anxiety could paralyze me and prevent me from trying something new. And when you're feeling paralyzed, the key thing to do is literally just to move your step, your foot forward.
Yeah.
Just one step. And then all of a sudden you see, oh, I can move that foot forward. Mm-hmm. And then you take another step forward and you can start to just make progress slowly. And you also don't have to make progress at the same pace as everyone else. If something's hard for you and everyone's going to encounter challenges that are harder and they have a harder time with, and then there'll be things that they're better at. And, it's just about continuing to try, and not avoiding, as you said.
Yeah. And I think what you just said, about there are going to be people who will be able to do things better, I find that really interesting too, because I think a lot of the anxiety from the college process, from everything, is kind of that feeling of constantly wondering, are they better? Can they do it better? What am I missing, kind of thing? And I think that can be really paralyzing too. And I think that's also really exacerbated now by social media. Mm-hmm. And what I've found, and I was wondering if you've sort of seen the same thing through college and law school, is that social media sort of makes everybody feel worse. And so many people realize it, but still aren't able to stop, including myself. And so I wanted to see your perspective on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I was someone who I very intentionally didn't join Facebook until my senior year of high school, or right at the end of high school, because I wanted to keep in touch with my high school friends. But I guess for my age, that was very late, just given when Facebook kind of took off. And the reason I did that is because it made me very anxious, and I just decided I'm going to use Facebook and social media in general for the express purpose of keeping in touch with people who otherwise I maybe wouldn't keep in touch with.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a lot of friends who don't necessarily have anxiety disorders, but they experience the same thing, and they know I don't use social media as much, and they ask, you know, kind of, oh, it's making me feel so bad. Why is that? And I always tell them, and I think I didn't make this up myself, I read this somewhere, people are putting their best image of themselves on social media always, right?
Exactly. And looking at social media when they're feeling the worst.
Exactly. And so you're looking at it when you feel the worst, and you're seeing people's best version of themselves, and that combination is going to give you a distorted view of reality, which is almost what anxiety is, right? Anxiety... Mm-hmm. is a release of chemicals that makes you look at the world differently than necessarily what's actually going on in some situations, at least when you have a disorder. And in some ways, social media is doing that for us, and giving us just a warped view of reality. It makes a lot of people feel that everyone else is doing great and I'm doing terribly.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it's so important to just remember that everyone, like I said earlier, everyone encounters the same challenges, and everyone is going through their own difficulties. And it's just important to focus on yourself. And that's not to say that social media is all bad, and there's a lot of positives. As I said, keeping in touch with people, getting to the sharing of ideas. But I think it's important to just keep in mind what it's doing and how it's making, why it's making us anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just very important. Yeah.
So I completely agree with you, by the way. Another thing that I wanted to discuss is, now that anxiety is a much bigger topic, I think that it becomes very important to distinguish the difference between feeling anxious and having an anxiety disorder. And I'm in a mental health club at school, and we talk about this a lot, of sort of how do you respond when someone is like, oh, I have so much anxiety for this test? Because, of course, you want to really support them and make sure they know that if they do really feel that anxiety, that it's totally valid. And it's sort of finding that in between that and sort of forcing people to ask themselves, are you stressed or do you really feel anxiety? And sort of what is the difference between those two? So how have you felt as someone who really does struggle from an anxiety disorder to sort of hear that word getting thrown around more and more as time goes on?
I look at it more as a spectrum, mm-hmm. where someone can genuinely feel anxious, and whether you want to call that anxiety, stress, or anxiety, whatever you want to call it, they can feel anxious, and that's okay. And the important thing to understand is that there are people out there who feel more anxious.
Yeah.
From a biological perspective, right? You might feel anxious, but there's people further down the spectrum. And that can be helpful information to make you realize, okay, I can handle this. I try to tell that for myself. Listen, as anxious as I am, imagine, other people who are more anxious than me. And being aware that your experience is not unique or superior to anyone else's.
Yeah.
And I'm not someone who if someone says that they're stressed to me or anxious, I'm not gonna be bothered by that, because I think that their experience is real, and for them, and maybe what they're used to, if they do feel anxious and they do feel stressed, and it might be a new feeling for them. And just because I maybe have experienced more or less or whatever it is, doesn't take away from that. Nor when I feel that way would, I want someone to look that way towards me. So that's kind of how I look at it. And I try not to get too caught up in how other people are feeling generally, and more just understanding that people are only going to make assumptions based on their own experiences, right? And the most important thing is, and I think this is where science is such a great thing, is where you can show, okay, certain people actually release chemicals, or certain chemicals are blocked in your brain that create just a different experience. And for me, that's what I always try to tell myself, if people ask me about anxiety and my own experience, that's what I always tell them is, no, my brain just releases chemicals in a different way. And maybe not something you can completely understand, and that's okay.
Yeah. And I think that's a really great point, because what's so interesting and difficult about anxiety is that really no one is immune to it. So you can look at this person that you think has the perfect life and nothing to worry about and everything's great, and they can still sort of be struggling a little bit. And I think that's the really important thing to notice about mental health.
Yes, absolutely. And you see that all the time with people who seem like they have it all, and they're miserable.
Yeah.
That's because it's not a illness that's based necessarily in reality or in let me rephrase that. It's an illness that's based pure. It's a physical illness, in a way. Even though we think of it as a mental illness, it's physical in terms of the physiology of our brain composition and all of that. So,
yeah. And I think that definitely in New York City, and this is something I also wanted to talk to you about, is like you can sort of feel it in the air in a weird way. It always feels like everybody is sort of stressed to get to the next thing. And I was sort of wondering what your experience is, having lived in New York City, outside of New York City, if you've actually felt that New York City is slightly more anxiety producing than other places that you've been.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's there's so much going on that if you're someone who's anxious and maybe you can have a sensory overload, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Of just like there's so much chaos that can be anxiety provoking in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And also just what you're saying about people having a lot of people all being stressed. You can find yourself kind of in that mode as well, and I definitely I've intentionally have left New York City to go to school to higher education, and
I'm jealous.
And it is, I mean, there are places that are more laid back, and it can be helpful to people who are anxious to realize that not everyone is living their life almost in a way wanting, I don't want to say wanting to be anxious, but wanting to be stressed, right? That stress is a good thing. There are places where stress is not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Relaxation is a good thing. But I think New York is a place where the norm is stress, and that can be difficult to live with if you struggle with stress, and if that's not what you want to be dealing with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. And I think that it's interesting because, again, through this, I've talked to people who have said at schools too, that it's so great that we're talking about, anxiety more, but that it really sort of does spread in an interesting way of like, if you're in a room where everybody's talking about how anxious they are, that you're sort of going to feel that too.
Mm-hmm,
and I think New York City is like a giant room where everybody's feeling pretty anxious.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think we've all been in a situation where we've like felt confident about something, or I had a situation recently. I felt really good about a test that I was about to take, and I get there and everyone's just talking about how stressed they are about the test. And all of a sudden I'm stressed about the test.
Exactly.
That's the environment that I'm thrown into. And you know, I think it's just important to be aware of those things, because then as you get stressed, you can understand why, and understanding why you're stressed is kind of the first step in being able to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Completely. So one big question that I had is that, so unfortunately, in the society that we live in today, men are often encouraged to suppress their feelings, and there's the act like a man up. And I think that it can be hard for men to sort of talk about their mental health. So has this made it difficult for you to sort of be open about your anxiety, or do you think that you sort of experienced it in a pretty or experienced talking about it in a pretty standard way?
You know, I just think I try to be realistic about, if I don't want to label myself, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think in doing that, people are just gonna look at you differently, and that's the unfortunate reality of where we are at in society. And so It is something that I don't talk about freely necessarily. And I think I just do that because I'm realistic about how other people look at you. And it's not that I don't think people in general, people are going to be understanding and sympathetic, but there's still a stigma where they will just look at you that little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily, want that. And at the same time, I also don't want it. I don't want to label myself. I think, mm-hmm. I'm someone who's worked hard to learn how to manage my anxiety. And it's important that I don't let it define me. And so I also take that attitude. But I think what's so great about what you're doing is thinking about everyone experiences anxiety. It is something that everyone on some level can relate to. And so I think talking about it very generally is really, really important. Mm-hmm. And that is something I try to do. I talk to people all the time about stress, and I'll say I'm stressed, and I'm happy that our society is recognizing that that's not, that stress in general and anxiety is a real part of everyone's day-to-day life and is something mm-hmm. that, people should be considerate of.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I hope that eventually that leads to a stigma not being attached to people who really have a hard time.
Yeah.
To degrees that not, you know, the average person maybe doesn't understand.
Yeah. And I think that's just the really hard thing about, like, any mental or physical illness is it's hard for people to sort of understand and not even necessarily relate, but at least sort of sympathize with
mm-hmm.
what people are going through if they don't feel it themselves. But anxiety is that really interesting thing where, like you said, I mean, everybody is going to feel it at some point in their life.
Right, exactly. And but then there's a flip side to that, which is that if everyone feels it, they can relate to it, but then they also maybe don't understand how can it get in their words,
yeah,
people's, how can it get so out of control? How can it affect you that much? I mean, I have anxiety and I'm fine, you know.
Yeah,
I can handle
that's
it.
A great point.
And that's where I think it's really important to go to the science and the physiology behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the proof is there that it is different for different people, and there are biological effects to constantly dealing with anxiety on a day-to-day basis. And so that's okay, and that can be acknowledged and managed and talked about.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, and just as those people are able to manage their anxiety when it comes up, people who experience anxiety on a day-to-day basis are able to manage it long-term on a mm-hmm. day-to-day basis. And that's more the way that I think people hopefully will eventually begin to look at it.
Yeah, completely. Well, thank you so much for speaking to me today. I can imagine you're quite busy, so I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, of course. No problem. I'm very happy that someone's doing something like this.
Thank you.